Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are just as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They're milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Betches Media presents Betches Moms, with hosts Aileen Drexler and Brittany Levine. Get ready to lock yourself in the bathroom or wherever else you hide from your kids, because you'll literally never be alone again.
Hello and welcome to the Betches Moms podcast. I'm Aileen.
And I'm Brittany.
And what's up, Brittany? How's life?
I feel like I have the same response every single time we've been doing these episodes, but we're in quarantine again. Both of my kids are home again. They haven't been to daycare for a full week in 2 months, and oh my God, losing my fucking mind.
Oh my God. That's totally crazy. And you guys are what, taking turns taking care of them?
Yeah.
Luckily, is anybody helping you?
Not right now, no, because we were like very fully exposed.
Oh, because you're exposed.
But we're at day five and... Yeah, we were at day five, and luckily nobody has any symptoms yet, but we're all waiting on PCR tests.
Oh my God.
Yeah, so we don't have help, but luckily Noah like sort of took this week off. He was hoping to fully take the week off, so he's been able to really like take over, whereas like last week it was kind of I took off and I was taking care of the kids while he was working, so
yeah,
you know, just each getting our turn. And
that's so nuts. That like time off is being used as quarantine instead of vacation, which is, I guess, the reality of the time for parents.
It is what it is. I mean, what are we going to do?
Yeah, that's crazy.
So what's going on with you?
During the holidays, like there was like a COVID scare. I was just waiting to get sick because like it was a family member got it from like work or something. And my brother was it was just a whole shit show. And then like my nanny thought she had it. And so I was taking care of me while I was doing work and crazy. So I don't know how you guys are doing it, but like Rusty's not home. He works outside of the home.
Right,
so that's not helpful. Yeah. I feel like a lot of people are probably dealing with the same thing right now.
Yeah.
It's fucking crazy.
Yeah, I'm sure a lot of you can totally sympathize with what we're going through.
Okay, so Brittany, what are we talking about today?
So you've been back to work now for what, like a month, 3 weeks? 3 weeks.
You could tell me and I wouldn't know.
Wow. So like being a month in, like what has been going on? How are you feeling about it? How has it been going? What was the transition like? I have so many questions.
Yeah, no, the beginning was like, I was just like jumping in, like I felt like I needed to catch up on everything. And I think I like overextended myself a bit because I felt like burnt out real fast. Not burnt out from work necessarily, just sort of drained by it all. The craziest, I think the biggest change for me is that like 6 o'clock, and I know a lot of parents were listening, like can obviously be like, no shit, obviously this is what you're doing. But like at six, I need to go, like I'm working till six, and then at 6 o'clock my nanny leaves, and so then I take Mila and that's when I give her a bath, and Rusty's not home yet, and so I'm just six at till she falls asleep, like could be 7:30, and then do I have time to even make dinner or eat or do something? And at that point, I just literally want to lay on the floor.
Yeah, and it's exhausting.
That part has been the biggest, like, shift for me because so I get so excited when I know that Rusty's going to come home early. Because I'm like, hey, guess whose turn it is? But it's also not fair for him because it's sort of, like, it's not like he's out. He's coming home from work.
Right,
too,
right.
You know? That part's nuts. Also because I work from home and he's not home. Everything sort of falls on me before our nanny comes and after.
Yeah. by default, you like all of that pressure falls on you.
Yeah, like I'm feeding her at 7 and I'm putting her to bed, and there's no break, and like
there's no downtime.
Hard to get up out of bed when you just want to sleep for another 30 minutes.
I know. So is she at least sleeping through the night now?
Yeah, she sleeps through the, she no longer wakes up to eat. She just wakes up in the middle of the night, like to just but like not crying, and then we're just going, and it's either that or just being like, okay, let her whine for a second, see if she'll just fall back asleep, and then she starts talking and she's up for 30 minutes and I'm like, fuck. Last night she was asleep and too quiet, so I was up watching.
Yeah, every night I still do that.
You're too quiet, and I'm like, are you okay? And like then I'm just sitting there at 3 a.m, like, do I go to her room? Do I check? Do I, you know, risk waking her up? So I'm like, oh, maybe it's a little too warm in there. Like, is she okay? So I like slowly go over. Last night, it's like creeping over with the nanit on my phone just to see if she, if she moves. And so I like pop the door open and I see her like do that like, and I'm like, oh, yeah, good, she's okay.
And then you're and like, then I, fuck, did I just wake them?
Yeah, yeah. Then I slowly go back. Rusty and I have a new thing where if he freaks out and I'm like the calm one, we have a thing where he goes and I watch on the nanit, like we're a team. And if I see her like startle when he opens the door because it makes a little noise, I just go, Rusty, and he just runs back. Oh my god, it's a joke. So I'm really tired, but I've noticed also that like sleep, it takes a really long time to catch up on what you've lost. So I find myself, even if I do get a decent night's sleep, and Rusty's been the one going up in the middle of the night, I'm still exhausted.
Yeah,
like midday crash.
Definitely.
So that's kind of been like the challenge because I'm also working like back-to-back meetings all day. So it's a lot. Anyway, that's
it is a lot. And I will tell you, being one kid deep and a half, it does get easier. I mean, I almost feel like you just get used to the exhaustion.
I was going to say,
yeah, I'm exhausted 24/7. I never feel like amazing. And I think, you know, any parent listening in, like you're just, it
I comes with parenting. That this is just like the new normal for the next 7 years.
Hopefully less.
No, I don't know, because like they, isn't Oliver still kind of like, up, like you just said,
he was the one who was up last night, not Jack. Yeah, for sure.
Like, depending on how many kids you have, like, you know, things, kids are like have nightmares later on, and then they're, you know, there's all this. I remember myself.
I know. Yeah, I think it just becomes like the new normal, like, and it's just you don't really like, I don't remember what it was like. I feel like it's way more fresh for you of like what life was like before kids, but yeah, for definitely me, I just don't remember. I'm like, what did I do with all that time? I don't know.
Yeah, no, that's the funny thing is like nothing. I did nothing.
Nothing. But literally nothing.
But that's what I love. Like I never really understood when people were like, I both like hate when my kid is asleep because I just want to hold them, but also love when the kid is asleep because I just want to lay. Like you can want both things. Like, oh, I miss you. I just want to give you like eat your cheeks, yeah. But like stay asleep.
but stay asleep. Like I want you to wake up for a second so I could hug you and kiss you, yeah. And then like go back to sleep.
Go back to sleep. Quick. But like I love the time. So after I've eaten and I just like decompress, like when I don't have any like extra work I need to like just do, I can just sort of lay and just watch stupid TV, or I've just been rewatching Succession for just again.
It's so good.
Just yeah. If I miss binge watching TV, that was the best.
Yeah, that is the best.
In the market for investment-worthy bags, watches, and fine jewelry, Rebag is the answer. Rebag is a luxury resale platform where each piece is carefully inspected by experts to ensure quality and authenticity. Use Rebag to buy and sell finds from the world's top brands, including Louis Vuitton, Chanel, and Cartier. Head to Rebag.com to get 10% off your first purchase with code REBAG10. Shop today at Rebag.com. That's REBAG.com. And use promo code REBAG10 for 10% off your first purchase.
It's a big mental shift to come back to work. And you're not just working for a company, you're running a company.
Yeah.
So, and like we kind of spoke about this, not really, but do you like, how did you prepare for that? And was it different than you thought it was going to be?
Did I prepare? I mean, I prepared for like my maternity leave. I made sure like nothing is like sort of falling through the cracks.
Yeah.
When I was coming back, I prepared like certain meetings to have for like catch ups mm-hmm. with what I need to know. And I also made sure that like the people that I did catch up with, that it wasn't a burden on them to like have to take time out of whatever like deadlines or whatever they were doing to like have to recap everything possible. So mm-hmm. I only sort of did that with one person. And then I was like picked certain conversations I needed to have to get caught up on to speed on everything else. And then that mm-hmm. was sort of it. But it does feel like a reinvigorating energy that I have to come back to work, because towards the end of being pregnant, I like remember being so like foggy brained. I have to turn my brain off. I can't do this.
Yeah.
And maternity leave, you can't, it's so hard to shut it off. But I really like didn't have any like capacity to think about anything because of like, obviously it was really hard the first 3 months. And like the emotions are also really still, you know, fluctuating.
Yeah. And do you feel like you're still like balancing out, or you feel like you're in a much better place?
I'm much better than I was like a month ago, but there's still like times when I feel like I do have some sort of latent or regular, like I feel like PPD comes after the 3 months. I feel like the real one comes after, like not during. Yeah. I feel like that's just the what's supposed to happen. Unless you have like a team of help
right.
like doing everything and you're getting full night's sleep. If you're not mm-hmm. sleeping, there's no way that your mental health can be like good. Like there's no way.
There's no way, because without sleep, you can't. It's so important. You can't do anything.
You cannot think straight.
Yeah.
Your emotions are not regulated. Your hormones are still not regulated. Mm-hmm. You're just like a fucking crazy. Like things are crazy. Things feel like so much bigger than they are, than they might be in that moment.
Mm-hmm.
Especially if it's your first time, like it's scarier.
Yeah.
But yeah, I posted this on my story about like kind of how I feel like it's manifesting. Like I wouldn't say it's depression, but like those days when I feel it, it feels like it is, you know.
Mm-hmm.
It's like I get really mad. I get like, I feel like a sense of intense anger about everything, and a lot of people kind of they said the same. I feel the same thing, and I never could put my finger on it. I didn't realize that it could be hormonal.
Mm-hmm.
But I feel like this intense anger about everything except my daughter. And I'm just like mad at the world. I'm mad at the people around me. I'm like, can everyone just shut? Just don't. I hate everything you're doing right now. And they're doing nothing.
I've been there. And I feel like I also like get like that with just like an insane low where you're just like,
right after that.
Yeah. Yeah. And like, you know, like nothing happened for you to feel like that. You just literally feel like, there's something chemical happening in my body right now that is making me feel this way, and you can't get yourself out of that.
100%. It feels like after that, like sort of anger, or mm-hmm. maybe the anger is short. I don't know what it is. It just, maybe it's like the pregame to the low.
The pregame to the party.
Yeah. But it just feels like it's scooped out all the energy you have in you. Mm-hmm. And you're just like, I am drained. I am sad. And this feels just like just shitty. I feel like I'm just got a shitty ass mood. And I don't feel like good at all, and I feel off balance. Mm-hmm. And it, that part feels like the depression, and it doesn't go away for a whole day.
Yeah.
Or longer for a lot of people.
Yeah, for longer, yeah.
But I don't feel like, I don't know about you, but I don't feel it towards, like, Mila. Like, I don't feel it.
No, I don't feel it towards my kids. It's more like I feel like a frustration towards myself, because I get like annoyed that I'm like that. I'm like, I have nothing for me to be upset about right now, or like annoyed about, like, what is happening.
I think also the harder part is like to sort of admit that something's wrong. Mm-hmm. And like, you're just, and of course, you know, logically, like, you can't blame yourself for feeling your certain way. But then when you're feeling, you're like, I think I am feeling signs of depression or something like that. Mm-hmm. I feel like I'm experiencing it. And that feels, that's an overwhelming feeling to admit.
Mm-hmm.
But again, like, I'm happy that it's not all the time.
Right.
And I just realized that it manifests itself in different ways for everybody's different, depending on like the situation they're dealing with, and just depending on your brain chemistry or like what's happened, you know, it really could be in any way. And like the amount of work that's added on to your life and the responsibility, it is stressful. So big like time.
Yeah.
That can cause anxiety as well. And my kid's pretty good. So like, I don't even,
She's really cute. She's so cute.
She's like, just, you know, la-di-da.
Do you think that being a parent has affected how you've been working since you've come back, in a positive way or negative, like, or not in any way, just in general?
Yeah, I feel more motivated to work because I know like the fruits of my labor affect her life,
mm-hmm.
which is cool. Yeah. Obviously, more responsibility.
Yeah.
But however, in the negative, I have less patience for bullshit.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. You don't care about it. You're like, this
I don't care about anything. No excuse. I have less patience for bullshit around me. I have a lot of patience for her, though. So that's where all my patience goes. But like, that's sort of the shift, is I have a lot less patience for everything else.
Yeah.
The funny thing is that, so during the last week, it was holidays. We were still sort of on, but my nanny was off for a whole week and a half. And I was, again, it was me sort of. I made sure that I prepared to not have as many meetings or like shows or whatever. Thankfully, it's the end of the year. It was the end of the year. And so I like got reacquainted with taking care of her 24/7. And then I was like, oh my God, like I can't imagine going back to work again. And then like our nanny comes back and I like, we do our handoff, and then I'm like, relieved in a way, because I'm like, oh, I can go back to like work and I can have adult conversations and I'm not just like singing the fucking bubblegum, what are the purple monkey and the bubblegum tree song by Fisher Price like 24 all day. But yeah, that's, I don't know, it feels like even the work is stressful and hard, it feels like a reprieve in some instances.
No, I totally agree. I mean, like, I last week, even though I was off and I was with the kids, part of it was like fine because I was able to do stuff around the house that I'm not typically able to do. But coming back to like, and actually doing like work and being able to like use my brain and like think beyond taking care of kids in the house was nice. It was a nice change.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Right. It was nice because you can have like, you can think about one thing.
Yeah.
And you're like more focused and you have this time to spend with them. Right. But then like after, I was like, oh my God, like I can't imagine going back to work and like doing this again. Like this is the second time I'm coming off maternity leave.
My second maternity leave.
But yeah, no, it's okay.
So we're going to move on to a listener email of the week in our segment, Go Ask Your Mom. This this is from a listener who wants to know the best thing to say to her sister-in-law after giving birth. So let's get to that. Hi, Brittany and Aileen. This summer, my sister-in-law gave birth to my beautiful nephew. She has recently returned to work 3 days a week as a PA. She's been keeping a brave face, and I can see she's struggling a bit. She has a ton of familial support. My mom babysits 1 day a week, her mom 1 day, and she often says how lucky she feels to have us close by and wanting to help. I can tell she's bummed about returning to work and dealing with all kinds of postpartum stuff I can't imagine. What are the best things I can say to her when I see her? I know we tend to focus on the baby and how big he's gotten and how cute he is, but what specifically are good things to ask about? Obviously, I ask how she is and how work is going and what they've been up to, but I want to make sure she knows that I care about her just as much as the baby. Any tips, advice, etc. would be great. Sincerely, worried-in-law Betch.
That's so nice that she's thinking about that.
Really nice.
Because like a lot of people aren't. I think you could ask her how she's feeling. Like, say, baby aside, I know, like, that's a whole nother thing, but I must just be like, I can't imagine how it feels. Like, just, you know, boilerplate empathy. I can't imagine how this feels. So how are you doing? Do you need anything? Like, you don't even have to say, do you need anything? You could just say, how are you doing? I think she'll appreciate that you're thinking of her.
When I was in that situation, I really appreciated when anybody around me understood that going back to work after having a baby was a really big deal. You know, just the acknowledgement of like, I know going back to work must be really difficult for you. How are you feeling?
Yeah.
Like, just as you're saying, just how are you feeling? And I think just the acknowledgement means a lot because it shows that you're thinking about them.
Totally. Yeah, you're showing empathy. And I do think, like, a lot of people, like, myself included, I had no idea what. Okay, you're just going back to work. I don't know. That could be hard, but I don't know. I can't imagine how that would be. You know, like.
Yeah.
And doing it is, like, it's very, very challenging. And yeah. And I don't blame anybody who doesn't get it. But I think that's so nice of worried-in-law Betch to be thinking of her in that way.
Yeah.
Because it is true. Like, suddenly it goes from when you're pregnant, like, it goes from, like, everyone, like, caring about you. And you all of a sudden, no one is asking you how you are. And everyone is talking about the baby. Everyone, my family members, FaceTime me to see the kid, like, no one can, like, all right, here, flipping the camera, like, okay, don't care, like, don't, you know. So I think it's the mom gets forgotten. It's a lot also to go back to work on top of all of that. So you could also, if she appreciates it, you could also offer to do something for her.
Yeah, like, definitely.
Is like, I'm assuming, like, you could say, I'm assuming dinner is really hard, like, Can I get you Seamless or something, like, or Grubhub or wherever you live?
Yeah. Or even like a celebratory, instead of making it feel like this, oh, like, let me get you dinner.
Yeah,
it's like,
true.
You're doing this amazing thing. You just had a baby. You just went back to work. I'm buying you dinner. Or like, I'm buying you some cupcakes because you deserve a cupcake.
That's
like,
really, yeah, I agree with you.
And just making it seem less about the person. So the person's like, oh, no, like, don't worry. Like, I'm okay. It's like, no, like, I'm doing this for you. Like, this is my gift to you because this is a big deal. We're celebrating.
Yeah, right. Let me, I'm buying you a manicure, like, something. Or, like, yeah, I like that. That's a good point. It's not so sad. It's happy.
Yeah, it is happy. It's just a big change.
It's a big change.
Mm-hmm.
Thanks again to worried-in-law Betch. And you can send your Go Ask Your Mom questions to moms@betches.com or DM us Betches Moms on Instagram, and we will answer all of your pressing questions. All right, Brittany, it's time for another segment, which this one's going to be fun.
I love all these new segments. I'm really excited about it.
I love segments. I love games. I love questions. I love sharing hot takes. Okay, so our new segment, it's called Am I a Momster? Here's how it works. You, the listener, send in real life scenarios and we rule on whether you're the one who's been wronged or if you in fact are the momster.
So while I was reading through all the mommy blogs looking for answers to my own questions, I came upon this one scenario that I think everybody has in some way or another experienced something similar with a mother-in-law. So this is an Am I a Momster story about your mother-in-law that I just happened to find. And I hope that it inspires you all to send in your situations and scenarios.
Okay, I can read it. My mother-in-law was holding my six-month-old when I was having breakfast. I stood up and said, I'll have her. And she said, no, finish your coffee. I got a bit annoyed and said, no, I will take my baby back and reach for my baby. She giggled, pulled away, and said, no. My husband was in the room too, and he was laughing as well. I got visibly angry and told her not to joke about this and give my baby back. I think it took another try or two when mother-in-law was pulling away and keeping my baby. I was the only angry one, and mother-in-law and husband were laughing at me. When I finally did get my baby, my husband decided to take her away from me again, and I removed myself from the situation to calm down. My husband thinks I'm in the wrong for reacting like this. So she isn't asking if she's a momster because this isn't for this segment because we found this scenario on the World Wide Web. But in the future, when you guys submit, you will be asking, am I a momster or am I justified in getting this angry?
This is interesting. I've like kind of have this like weird like feeling listening to this story because it feels really awkward.
You feel weird?
I feel weird. I think it depends on like your actual relationship with your mother-in-law. And like it seems like, you know, if you were getting visibly upset, she should have just given you the baby. And like my personal opinion is I would be annoyed if my husband didn't side with me and he sided with my mother-in-law, which seems like that's what happened here. The husband sided with the mother-in-law. So I think you're justified for getting angry. I don't think it needed to escalate the way that it did. What do you think about it?
I think that it was like a miscommunication.
Yeah.
A miscommunication of like needs. Like the mother-in-law wanted to hold the baby for a little longer because she doesn't maybe get us to spend as much time. And right. You were, it's your baby. You were like, it's time. I want to hold her. Like it's my, and I personally think that the mother-in-law should respect what you say.
Agreed.
So I don't think you're a momster, but I agree. Like, escalated, but I assume all momster scenarios, all future momster scenarios will have escalated.
Yes, they will have escalated.
Yeah, I don't think she's a momster. I think the scenario sucked and the husband should not have been giggling. And I don't like when one person is angry and another person is laughing at them. That is never okay. That's emotional manipulation.
Especially like a new mom who has like wild hormones. Like, don't do that.
Like, yeah, I would almost say like you are more than justified now that I'm thinking about it.
Yeah,
like, and however, I think if you were holding the baby and you were really upset, I think the husband was justified in sort of caring for the kid while you calm down. I think that is okay.
Agreed. I don't think the mother-in-law intentionally did that, unless you guys have a history of a weird relationship. But if it's just like a normal caring relationship, it probably wasn't coming from a bad place. Like Aileen was saying, she probably doesn't get to spend a lot of time with her grandchild. And but definitely should have given you the baby back. Like once you say, I'll take the baby, like you give up the baby to the mom. Like you just
Or like the mom could be like, do you mind if I held her just for like two more minutes?
Right.
Like for five more minutes or like,
right.
Like, you know, versus I'm doing you a favor.
Right.
You know? Like
right.
That's what the way that it started is really determined how it ended because it was like, I'll have her. No, you finish your coffee. Like,
yeah.
Hey, can I take her back now? I kind of want to hold her. Or no, do you mind if I just hold her for five more minutes? Like, I don't spend any time with her. Oh, yeah, sure. Like, done.
Right. And I feel like I've definitely been in situations where I'm like, and I probably felt this way more with Oliver than Jack. I love Jack to death.
It's totally, but like, first kid second child thing.
Yeah. Where I'm like, okay, like, I'm ready to hold him again. And whoever's holding him is like, no, like, and I just kind of like bite my tongue and I'm like, okay, like, sure. And like, you'll get the baby back in a couple of minutes. But like, it's totally understandable.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's understandable, but yeah. I don't think she's the monster.
No, I don't either.
Justified.
Right. So please DM us your submissions to Betches Moms on Instagram or email us at moms@betches.com. And we would love to hear your scenarios. This was really fun. And I'm really looking forward to more of these.
Same. Okay, so for our final segment, we are back with a no mom guilt. You guys, I don't need to explain what a no mom guilt is. It's a time when you share, I mean, I'm explaining right now, but it's a time when you share, you felt guilty, but we're here to say you don't need to feel guilty, you know? We're not about guilting moms for anything.
No guilt.
But you can, but we're normalizing the feelings because yes, it's nonstop. Brittany, I know you have one for this week. Do you want to share it?
Sure. I was getting nervous for this segment because I'm like, don't know
cry.
If I'm going to cry or not. So I get really nervous.
Get a tissue.
So as we know, my kids have been home and I've just been a ball of anxiety. And the other morning, it was like an early morning. Jack was up at 6. Oliver was up at 6. And I was downstairs with the kids and I'm feeding Jack, and I don't know if I've mentioned this on the podcast before. I know I said before how Oliver likes to sleep in bed with our dog, but like the obsession goes beyond that. Like he just like needs to be with her 24/7 to the point where like it gives me severe anxiety because he just like lays on top of her, and if she runs away from him, he gets really upset and just wants to like literally pin her down and like wear her in a baby Bjorn. Like that's what he wants to do.
Okay. The dog is his baby.
Big time. Like obsessed with her, like talks to her like a baby. Like it's out of control.
Yeah.
It's so cute, but it's also so frustrating because she gets upset. So the other morning, Oliver woke up and I could tell he was still like in that sleepy phase, like he wasn't 100% awake, comes downstairs holding like he likes to bring down his lovies and his pillows and whatever, and he like walks over to me and he's like, mommy, like I want Millie, like she's running away from me. And then he like tackled her and then like she ran away, and I'm like, and I didn't yell at him, but I got really stern with him because I was really tired and frustrated. And I was just like, Oliver, she doesn't want to play with you right now. Like she might need to go to the bathroom. She might need to eat. And he just stood there and he looked like really scared. And he just like took like a couple of seconds and he started hysterical crying.
Aww.
And my heart broke because it wasn't like a cry of like the annoying toddler cry that like they just want something. Like I could see that I startled him because mm-hmm. he wasn't expecting me to respond that way.
Mm-hmm.
And it was just very heartbreaking. And I felt really bad. And like, I immediately like gave him a hug and I told him I didn't mean to. And then, you know, mommy gets upset sometimes, but you know, went through the whole Dr. Becky, you know, thing. And, but then I did it again.
Oh my God. About what?
Same exact scenario happened 5 minutes later. And again, I raised my voice and he did the same thing. He stopped. He got startled and he cried. He goes, you scared me again.
Oh.
And I just, I haven't stopped thinking about it because he just, it reminds you that they're just so innocent and he didn't do anything wrong. He doesn't know that what he's doing is frustrating.
Right.
So it's just very heartbreaking. And it just, if anything, it taught me a lesson to stop and pause before I react to him and think right. about, you know, where he's coming from. So there's right, like my
the patience.
Yeah.
It's really is hard.
Yeah.
Because they're not adults. Like, and a lot of parents might, or like people think like, oh yeah, I can like sort of, you're annoying me like an adult.
Yeah. Like you're annoying, like you're really annoying right now. And yeah, Oliver was like, I don't know what that word means.
but they forget, don't they forget?
you know what? He doesn't forget that much. No, like he's actually, recently he's really started, remembering like things that we tell him to do or how to act. And it's really beneficial, you know, just from like, from learning from mistakes, et cetera. But then he also remembers when we yell or, you know, when mm-hmm. we get upset, you know, he remembers all those negative things too. So I definitely need to be more careful on like how I react to things because I don't want him to think that, you know, I'm this reactive, angry, scary mommy.
Scary mommy. That said, you're so not alone. There are so like everyone. I don't think that there is one. I can't imagine the most patient person in the world not sometimes reacting. You know what I mean?
They're like, even we've had Jenny Moness on before, Mo Mommies. And if you guys follow her, you should if you don't. But she seems to be the most patient person. And, you know, she follows a lot of Dr. Becky Goodinside's, you know, tactics. So sometimes I see her posting about this where like she loses her cool and it actually makes me feel better because I'm like, okay, yes. Well, if she loses her cool, it's normal to lose your cool.
Uh-huh. No, right. That I totally agree with you. Whenever I see her posting about like her losing her temper or reacting like quickly without thinking, like not using her, and she's the teacher of the tools.
Yeah. Yeah.
I feel better because it's normal.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
And it's just, we'll learn also that, you know, we're not always like 24/7 happy. Like we're humans.
I know. We're human.
We're human.
We're only human.
And humans feel guilty, but we don't need to feel guilty about that. But no. Oliver will be, let Millie bargain him instead next time.
Oh. God, that's like a whole lot. We need to do our whole dog story because I reached out to Dominica from Dog Meets Baby. So whenever I have a session with her, we could talk about that. And I know you have a lot to talk about with Sansa and Mila as well. So we need to do a whole dog episode.
Yeah, we'll do a dog episode. I don't really have much. She's
you don't?
No, but Mila hasn't started moving yet. So yeah,
true.
That's the real difference.
Right.
Well, email us your no mom guilts at moms@betches.com and we can also share them too. It doesn't have to just be me and Brittany feeling guilty 24/7. Although that is the case. And that is it for this episode of Betches Moms podcast. Do not forget to rate, review, and follow us on Spotify and Apple. Again, I repeat, please leave us a little review if you like our show. Please tell a friend. Be like, hey, I really enjoyed this part of the conversation. You don't even have to listen to the whole episode. Just listen at minute 5. You'll really like it. And then just tell them that and they'll be like, wow, I really like this show. And then they'll tell a friend and we all are just one happy family. So please do that. We'll love you and follow Betches Moms on Instagram. You can follow me at Aileen. Brittany is too cool for us. And remember, there are no rules on this podcast. I'm not like a regular mom.
I'm a cool mom, right, Regina?
Please stop talking.
The Betches Moms podcast is produced by Sean Kilby and Jorge Morales Pico. Editing by Stacey Wong. Social media by Brittany Levine. Guest booking by Nicole Pellegrino. Be sure to follow us at Betches Moms on Instagram and send us your emails to moms@betches.com. Betches.